Michiel Spira Kashrus lecture.
Since I lecture most of the time in English, the questions are, why is the kashrus so complicated here? What in Kutzlau is everything so simple? You just go out, you look for one of the five major achshavim in most places in the week. In Israel, everyone's yelling, but that's him, and I don't eat here, and I do eat here. What's the deal? So, like I say, I believe a big part of this is the concept of Aliyah. When you come to Eretz Yisrael, after the euphoria of the airport, and the baseball hat from Nefesh to Nefesh, and the press coverage, and the YouTubes, comes real life. And registering our children in schools, and finding a shul that we call home, and settling in. And part of settling in is knowing what we're going to eat when we go shopping, and where we can go out to eat. And I think the term Aliyah should stay in one's head regarding the kashrus, because even if things we did in Chutzalitz were acceptable for Chutzalitz, and Eretz Yisrael, as my Rebbe Zanzacharan Avacha said to me when I left a few years ago, that the way you lived in New York, you can't live that way in Israel. You have to elevate yourself, you have to live on a high madriga. And part of that, I think, is dominating kashrus, adherence to mitzvahs in general, kashrus in particular. Last week, as I was thinking of what to speak about, because I haven't spoken in a long time, actually, since last year when I stood here, and I have sleepless night, I don't speak anymore. I found Rabbi Wigler's Kosher Supervision Guide. This is from 2011-2012. I have the new one and route to me, the last one to put out is for 2015-16. My point being, the 2011-12 issue shows 1,063 different hechsherim. The new one already has over 1,200, so it's growing. Baruch Hashem, the industry grows. So to tell me it has a hashkafa is just a statement that has no value anymore. If I find the pages here, just to show you pages and pages and pages of kashrus symbols from Eretz Yisrael and around the world. If you know what most of them are, you're going to hate me. I have found also, at least in Eretz Yisrael, and I have found from some of the people who were working in kashrus for 20 plus years, for the major organizations. When I say major organizations, in Chutzlaritz I refer to the five big ones, which is the OU, the OK, the Star K, Kaf K, and CRC. Those five hashkachas in North America give supervision on probably 80-90% of everything, and everyone else grabs up what's left. The point being, people who grow up in a full environment, whatever hashkacha that may be, and then you get into a basement, and somewhere along one's life, the day comes, that person says, I have to make a living, what can you do? And for the people living here a few years, you may have noticed that you see signs in religious neighborhoods getting increasingly popular. More frequently you see signs for the course for self-esteem, mashkiach kashrus, and also different aspects of safaris. There's also courses for shkita, and over time, looking into some of them, by far not being an expert in any of these areas, I have found that they're exactly what they say are their courses. I mean, I took one of the mashkichim courses myself about 6 years ago to see what it was like. And I would say the course I was in, I was lucky. It was a fairly good course. It would give someone a very good basis to then go out and become an apprentice and then learn to be mashkichim. And it supposedly prepares you to take the Rabbanu test. We took the test, but no one ever got the marks back yet. The Rabbanu's grading system is lagging. So what's the point? The point is, it's very difficult, and the most common way that I have found people who really don't know, most of us don't know, we think we know perhaps, but we don't know, to ascertain if a place is kosher for us, out of when you leave your immediate comfort zone where you know what you're doing, hopefully, is we see what the tzibur does. You know, people say to me, how come you said that store in the shuk, I used to do tours of Machane Yehuda, and I said, this store you shouldn't eat by, it doesn't have hashkacha. And they said, but everyone eats there. Everyone does it, everyone needs this. So I'd say everyone does it because I don't, so that's not everyone. The point is, you'll often see people looking, however you associate a religious person appearing, with a black yarmulke, a white shirt, or a tzitzis out, or a big kippah, it doesn't matter, but you'll see an Orthodox person eating in a place, and you'll say they're lining up to buy stuff for Shabbos after the place don't have a hechsher. And the Rebbe said it's not a bad supposition, except It will lead you astray, and unfortunately, in many cases, will lead you to eat something you shouldn't eat. So my purpose tonight is, and we'll take questions when I'm done speaking, my purpose tonight is to try, within the 45-minute period or so, to give you an understanding of how the kashrut system here works. And hopefully you can achieve enough of an understanding to realize you need to learn more, you need to ask questions, and not to make an assumption. Okay? You have to dispel some of the notions that many of us come to Israel with, whether we're visiting or we make aliyah, and that is everything is kosher. Unfortunately, that is far from reality today. Not only is it not kosher, it's trade food no less than in America. You mamash have to live here, as far as I'm concerned, the same way you live in New York City, unless you have a hashgacha of a place you know you can't touch anything, you can't eat anything. Simple as that. There's stores that sell chazer, rachman al-Islam, there's stores that sell all kinds of trade. There's stores that have Macham Shabbos, there's stores where people don't even have a clue what they're doing, and some don't claim to it. Okay? So you need to understand the system. For those of you that are from New York State, you may remember, you may know, that New York State does have kashrus laws, kosher laws. And there used to be, I think it was Rabbi Rubin's that had headed it. And there used to be about 15, 20 inspectors in New York State. They ran around and they would hit the big places, the supermarkets, and make sure the meat department said it was kosher, it was kosher. That system has since all but vanished because of monetary issues, budgetary. There's, I think, two inspectors for all of New York State today. But the same kind of a system is in place here, except the New York State kosher law is run by the State of Israel, the Chief Rabbinate. The Chief Rabbinate is the only body of the in accordance to state law that has a right to issue kosher certification, and the Chief Rabbi of Israel is in charge of kashrus. The Chief Rabbi has then delegated the responsibility for kosher to the local religious councils. So in a city like Beit Shemesh, you have the kashrus of Beit Shemesh. Yerushalayim has its own, Moshavim, some have their own, some Yerushalayim have their own, and Yudan Shamon, maybe a regional council, not a local council. The point is, ultimately, the responsibility goes to the Chief Rabbinate and the laws and the decisions of what may be imported, what may not be imported, what the standards are for restaurants and what the standards are for catering halls and butcher shops are all decided by the Chief Rabbinate. So when Rav Kook set this system up, the goal was to have a minimal standard of kashrus in the state of Israel to make sure that if one, unfortunately, was in the hospital, or if you serve in the IDF, or if you join the police force, or you're in some state institution, you will make sure that something that you put in your mouth or buy in these places will at least be minimally kosher. And the stress was on minimally, because he had a realization that the majority of the state is not Orthodox, the majority of the state may or may not be interested in that, I don't know. But the point is, you can't have a state-run kashrus that strives to mahadim. What does Mahadur mean? Try to touch on that as well. The point is the minimal kashrus. I would say that in the United States, I speak for myself here, when I grew up in Washington Heights. And I happened to be through my life, I worked for the boys' kashrus, I worked in the butcher, one of the boys' butcher shops, I worked for catering for Crown Heights, so I got a little bit of a taste of the different kashrus there, the so-called Hamish kashrus, boys itself. And I also saw I dealt with a lot of restaurants and catering. So I got to see the more the OU back in the day, I'm talking 30 plus years ago. When people tell me in America it's so simple and even it's not, it pains me because it shows me the realization that most from Jews today, wherever we live, don't have a clue. Aleph, I think of Hashas Halach, people like Yasmicha, they live the other day, and you know Hadach and Malicha, you know the Halach of Kashas. But I maintain there's a difference in no one even getting a Fahir and knowing how to answer the questions, and knowing a Shach and a Taz and a Rosh, and how one applies that in your life day to day. Today's Kashas industry, which is really the food industry, has become so complex and such a big money maker. There's so much to be a real Mashkiach today in any restaurant. A person needs enormous yushamayim, enormous ability to stand up against the boss and realize that he may lose a job or get into another pleasant fight and say no. Because the bottom line is, even back 30 years ago, money was already the dictating factor for many things that were being done. Money, time, union pay, union skill. In Eretz Yisrael, I've seen in the last 30 plus years here, the kashrus has deteriorated to a level that it's, in my opinion, is nothing less than a busha in most areas. I will speak for Yerushalayim as far as I'm concerned, and I say it on record over and over again. Anyone who doesn't know the Mashgiach in a restaurant in Yerushalayim HaKadosh doesn't dare touch a thing in any restaurant, including while making Yerushalayim Hagim. If you do, you put your neshama in great risk. You can quote me on that. And I spoke about it a few years ago, and I will say today with the election of Rabbi Stern, Shlita Aryeh Stern, who has now finally started the investigation into a lot of the allegations I've made, and Baruch Hashem, the state controllers involved, the Israel police are involved, and Be'ezrat Hashem, by the time he's done, many people will be going to jail for the crimes they've committed, which has compromised the kashrus of Yerushalayim. And this includes the Mahadim, there's no difference.
But does it include the Bedas Hashem?
The Bedas Hashem. The Bedas Hashem, again, the Bedas Hashem, all
you have to know the Mashiach. If I see the Haredes on a restaurant, do I have to know the Mashiach?
In my opinion, no. The difference, you know, with all the Mishigas in politics, and anyone who doesn't believe there's not a political aspect to conscience is also naive. But as one Rav who I rely on heavily for conscience told me, the end of the day, the bottom line to the end of Haredes is they're not selling their Olam Haba for anybody, not even for money. And that's the difference. The Rabbanut Yerushalayim has grown, it's gotten so large that today they give Ashkocha for over 1,300 places. It's the largest Ashkocha in the state of Israel, the Rabbanut Yerushalayim. And it's gotten hefty. There was no chief rabbi for over a decade. Baruch Hashem, Rabbi Stern today is starting. It may take years until he finishes. I don't know if it will be Matzliach. But Baruch Hashem, he already showed enough evidence to bring the police and others. He has to rehabilitate it. It's harder to rehabilitate something than it is to build it from the beginning. So, God willing, after the Yantar Ishmael, he'll get it back on its feet. Beit Shemesh back in the day, I don't know how many years ago this is already, but we did the Kashrus Guide here 2 years in a row. The rabbi here did a fairly decent job. It did what it was supposed to do. I don't have a clue what's going on today. You know, Rabbi Chobo does what it's supposed to do. There's others like Tzmat does a wonderful job. So it's not that everything has to do with the Rabbi, it's no good. But I'm not here to rate different Rabbi. The idea is to understand the system. Any place you go to, you need to qualify Hashkocha. Okay, I'm leaving America behind now, we're not comparing anymore, we all live in Eretz Yisrael, let's get an understanding of what we're doing. I maintain there's three categories you have to put Hashkocha into. A good Hashkocha, a bad Hashkocha, and an acceptable Hashkocha. Okay, a good Hashkocha means whatever they claim to do, they do. Simple as that. If you find out that they tell you Bishri Yisrael, Sephardim, and Ashkenazim, on and on and on, and they do it, that's a good Hashkocha. A bad Hashkocha is Hashkocha that does not do what it claims to do. Rabbi Nachman Yerushalayim is a good example. Okay, what's a suitable Hashkocha? A suitable Hashkocha, by definition, has to be a good Hashkocha, but then we have to learn what it does, what it claims to do, and if it meets our standards. What are our standards? That entails learning enough about and understanding where we want to live and what we want to do. To me, it's an amazing thing that Baruch Hashem, we go to Shulam and Lashon Hara, which is a biggie, that's a harder part to be careful what goes out of our mouth. We also have to work on what comes into our mouth. There's an old saying in America, you are what you eat. And after that's very true. You are what you eat. When you eat Chas V'Shalom forbidden foods, it has an impact on our Shalom. We may not feel it, we may not be sensitive enough because we're not in the right way, but it impacts our Shalom. So we have to decide. I will give you one point, for example, for new people. There are many people today who rely on their tefillah, they're not marked on Chol Yisrael. They drink Chol Vachem. That's not my place to get into it. But I want to explain to you that if you don't drink Mahadran milk in Eretz Yisrael, it has nothing to do with Chol Yisrael and Chol Vachem. It has to do with Shabbos, Chol Shabbos. It's a concept you didn't have to worry about in America because the dairies were owned by corporations that were run by Goyim. But today when you buy milk in Israel from Tenuva, or from Yutvot or Strauss, and it's not Mahadran, there's a very good chance that milk is a byproduct of Chol Shabbos. So there are Heterim, but if you want to live your life by Heterim, you want to live your life L'Chafilim, these are things you have to acquaint yourself with. When you're living in Chutz La'aretz, Ashkenazim, at least one understanding, or not generally Matan and Chodosh, when you get to Eretz Yisrael, it's a different level, it's different halachas apply already. And you may have to decide that Chodesh is important, then you have to start being more careful from the things you eat from Chutz La'aretz. And on and on and on. It demands a minimum commitment to perhaps the shul will have classes again one day, maybe they've asked you, I don't know, maybe a different shul in the community will start, but I maintain, if you want to live your problem and not be one of these followers that spend their life but everyone eats there, or you look around and see who eats at the table or not, and that's how you want to live, because of the hate. I don't have an answer for that, but I don't think it's the way to go. The system here is complex. A lot of the items are imported. You have to learn what you're looking for. Like, you see, the best example is a bottle of wine. You go home, just take a bottle of wine, any company, a bottle of wine, and look at the back label of it. Wines generally have 3 to 5 of sugar on it, and lots of little whiting. I don't know how many of you have ever read the back of the bottle of wine to understand what's going on, to understand what Tashkoch is. If it's Mabushal, if it's not Mabushal, if it's a pasteurizer. If you have not religious people coming to eat at your table shops who can touch the wine, you can't. You know, it's things you have to think about. Okay, Tashkochas, the Rabbanut, and it's... I don't have the vocabulary in Hebrew or English to stress how much you need to distance politics from your decisions of what you will and will not eat. Unfortunately, too many people who don't classify themselves as Haredim, you know, have to distance themselves from Badatzim, and too many people in Badatzim won't touch anything that says Rabbanut. Doesn't work like that for me. I'm looking for a product that meets my kosher standard, that does what it needs to do, and I don't really care what yarmulke the guy wears. It doesn't, what Ashkofi uses. It doesn't play into the factor. It just doesn't. And now, the Rav just announced it's Puzzle this week. Everyone's getting ready for Rosh Hashanah. This week is winding down. If you don't realize it now, let me remind you, as far as kashrus and eating, Shemitah is far from over. Because next year, all the citrus fruits, the summer fruits, all the products that hit the shelves from this harvest may have kedusha Shemitah. That includes jellies, jams, wines, grape juice. So you have to be reading the bottles and the cans of what you buy in addition. You know, if you buy certain badatz hacher that tell you you never have to worry about kedusha shvi'is, you don't have to worry about it. You look for the hashgacha that you want, and you're done. But if you're not going to buy exclusively those hacher, you need to have enough knowledge to know if the wine you're drinking has kedusha shvi'is or not. And if it does, that's fine. But you have to know the halacha, how one treats kedusha shvi'is. Again, we said it's aliyah. It would be a very unfortunate situation to be mezalzel but kedusha shvi'is wine. You have a chance to be, you know, to be mekayem these mitzvahs or to do things correctly, and then unfortunately becomes a bad scene if the man's living in halachas. The kashrus situation for the Rabbanut, as far as I've seen, other than a lot of talk on the radio and back and forth, each side taking blows at one another, but that's making fun of the Rabbanut, and the Rabbanut shouting how dare anyone make statements against the Rabbanut and be mezalzel by the one. It doesn't do much for me either, but at the end of the day, there's too much money being made, and a lot of people are to be straight about what they're doing, they just aren't doing their jobs correctly, hopefully. You know, our boys in Tzala, I remember, said, back in the day, the Kasher was the Haladas Shurin, he said, you can't have Glot Kosher without Glot Yosher. He felt that if you don't have honesty and integrity, you can't be so mad when a person's Kasher sees and they go together. I don't know why that went the case today, but unfortunately it doesn't seem to be. Okay, I'm not looking to tell everyone is dishonest, that's not the case. I will say in Rabbanut Yerushalayim, I can personally picture many mashgichim that I know that do a wonderful job. The rest of us are at the standard they should be. For the veterans here that are living here a few years, maybe you remember. I remember 25 years ago, for example, other than Mayor Sharim, would have a hard time finding someone who classified themselves as Haredi who would not eat Rabbanut Yerushalayim. Because it was known to be a good hashgacha. It was a good shchita, they did a good job, and the restaurants were maintained on the level they should be. And I feel because the Rabbanut system was slacking off and deteriorating over the years subtly, it was a transition. The people that started up many of these badatsim saw an opening, realized there's money to be made as well, and they opened up all these badatsim. And today we're inundated with badatzim, we're inundated with rabbaniyot, and people don't have a clue what they should eat and don't eat. I will say, and that's important, in my mind, the Rav can correct me if he disagrees, there's 3 hashkochos that I think are the top 3, and those are the ones you can eat anywhere, anytime, with your eyes closed, and that's badatz eina chavedis, Rav Moshe Hudelev Landau, the Av Beis Din of Bnei Brak. And I say his full name because there's a few Rav Landaus out there, but there's only one Rav Moshe Hudelev. And but that's Mahadrin, as it's officially called better on is Rahubin, Rahab Rahubin of Khovo. Tosli Ashrevim, I believe, are the top three. Then there's a moderate tier, and then there's the unknown world of the Badatsu. But those three, Akid, and Vishri Yisrael for Ashkenazim and Svarim, and they all claim that the Shkita is good for Ashkenazim and Svarim. But the Kulas and Tumas will go on more to base Yosef, and those three differentiating themselves from all the others, a Makpid that the environment that you're eating will be maintained on a Mahadran level as well, which means you won't go to a restaurant or a wedding and have waitresses dressed inappropriately, you won't have inappropriate music, you won't have inappropriate anything. They feel if their tzibur is coming to eat, they have an achrayus to also have a suitable atmosphere, not just about the food for them. Same with the hotels that they give certification on. So if we do want to know what to eat, those three are fine, everything else. I also have learned that my limited knowledge, you can't generalize. Some of the Badatsim do a good job in one area, but they're not great in a different area. So at least I know. I don't think it's realistic to go out there and say, I think you're going to now spend the next year or two traveling the country and go with a Rav or Mashgiach and learning the ins and outs of kitchens and restaurants. So you need to know that Shlachas you're going to eat. People often, when I was more active in Jerusalem Kosher News, which is the organization I started, they would say, how do you know what to eat? So I said, you know what, how do you know what you can eat, what you can eat? And I would say, make a photocopy of the 2, 3, 4 Hashem that you trust. You see the logos. Learn how to determine what a proper 2-dot Hashem is, because there's many bogus Hashem around. And then you can go eat. And the rest of it, ignore it, just like you did in America. In America, if you looked for an OU or you looked for a cupcake, and you saw, I don't know, you saw whatever it is they have, and you'll pick one. You saw a W, K, and an octagon. You saw any of these. You didn't know what they were. You put it back. You didn't need it. In Israel, for some reason, it astounds me. Anything that has the word kosher, and they put it in with a font that's so small with a magnifying glass you have difficulty reading, yet people buy it. I just don't understand it. It's this yetzer, this time, I gotta eat everything. Today it's a world of sushi and all these new dishes, and there's cooking shows have gone viral, and everybody is buying all kinds of fancy knives. Everybody has to have everything. Okay, I'm not anyone's conscience, I'm not telling what you can and can't have, but you have to maintain a level of kashrus. It's very difficult. The amount of food being imported into Israel today is astronomical. And now they're talking about removing the regulation of dairy products, which means that dairy products will be imported in larger numbers from Kuzlovets too. So on one hand, from a consumer aspect, it's a wonderful thing. It may lower the price of dairy. On the bad side, it's going to bring a lot more products in that the kashrus will not be on the standard of Tanuva Mahadran, for example. Tanuva Mahadran is about the highest level of holy soil you can get in the world. The measures that the Vad Mahadran have taken, what they do to maintain a level of kashrus is unsurpassed. There's no one competes with it. Not anywhere in the United States, not in Europe, no one. It's unbelievable. So by bringing in imports, these things get compromised, but that's not in my hands, that's not what we're talking about. So again, you need to, if you're living in Beit Shemesh, for example, and you've decided Rav Nun Beit Shemesh is good for you, Rav Nun Beit Shemesh Mahadran is good for you, you need to know how to identify the Tzedakah. We've taught here in classes many, many times over the years, you know, there's some basic components to any Tzedakah kashrut, doesn't matter what hashkocha. It could be Eid HaChavedi, it could be Rav Nun, it could be anyone. It has to be an original document. It can't be a photocopy. A photocopy is worthless. The name of the store sign and the name on the Tzedakah have to be identical, and the address of the way you are when you're physically in the store has to be that address, because often the store will have hashkocha on one store and they'll take it to the other store and say, no, it's the same business, you don't have to worry. He's right, you don't have to worry, you just can't eat there, it's not hashkocha. And the date has to be valid, you have to be very careful. Often what's done here, it's just so sinister, you have to change your head around. I don't know how people get this way. If you look near the Tachar and Chazir, I saw one a few weeks ago again, on the 2-dot kashrut, you know, anyone familiar to having you shwine, they give out these little colored sheets every week. It says, Adlokas Nevos. It tells you Shabbos candlelighting times. It usually gets put up Sunday, Monday, they're ready up for the coming week. So some of these stores, they're very formal. You see the Adlokas Nevos time happens to coincidentally cover the expiration date on the 2-dot kashrut. You know, so I've looked a few times. Sometimes it was innocent, and many times it was expired, and you just covered it up. It wasn't an accident. You can't be naive, I'm sorry to say that. At least so, we're not all honest people. It comes to money, people do things. And then you get the people that say, All the ingredients are kosher. What does that mean? It means that an individual like myself, I decided to go into business, I'm telling you I bought all badatz ingredients, and I'm attesting to the fact that everything in there is badatz. So what are the problems with such a statement? A, you may or may not know me, so my claim to you is meaningless. He's like, oh, it's a good guy, look. Okay. You know, but the rabbanim over the last 200 plus years have taught us that you can go to a guy's house and eat. That's fine, but once he opens a business, he's no longer trustworthy because there's that yetzer hara to make money. It's a business. You need a hashgacha. That's what you need a hashgacha. You can't do it alone. And let's say all the ingredients were badatz. What does that mean to anyone? What badatz? It could be badatz yodeya, badatz ein chavini, badatz ben yosef, badatz b'nei brach, b'chul chasam sofa, b'nei brach, chasam sofa, and I can go on and on. So what is all of kol hashgacha badatz? All the ingredients of badatz. Which badatz? If you eat all of them, you're fine. But do you or you don't do? And then that's even the soup, all the ingredients of Adas Eda Chavim. So high end, guys, tzaddik, who prepared the sandwiches? What were the knives? What were the utensils? Where's the kitchen? Did anyone total anything? Were the greens checked for bugs? Was the rice checked? Were you made a chavita? There's a million and one things. And again, people buy. I'm amazed. I go to chasnas today, and I go to events, and the first thing I walk in, I look for a tulad heksha. There is none. Everyone's eating. It's just unbelievable. Yes, for Rashbiya, he left. He's not here. He's not coming. He's gone. They never say he's not coming. Either you just missed them. There's this one guy I'm very anxious to meet. I've been looking for 15 years. I keep missing him. Wherever I go, I just miss him. But it's true. And everyone eats. And you say, the Baal Simcha is a Talmud Chacham. How can you possibly have a Chacham? That's not kosher. Because the Baal Simcha doesn't know either. People don't know. I know it defies logic. He said, loses Joker, gets him in status. There's no point in going to go out and eat. But the truth is, today especially, you have to understand, a lot of caterers, they cook in place A in the commissary, they transport the food to place B, and they make a wedding. So what went on from place A to place B? Who gave the supervision? And whose caterer are you using when you heat it up and you warm the food? And who's taking responsibility for dishing it out? And where did you buy the bread? Because that's bought the day of the fair. The food was transported 48 hours earlier. And the questions go on and on, but people eat. And Rabbi Linowitz really coined it well when he said, and I think this tzibur really, for the most part, has it down, that if kashrus will ever change, it's going to be by the consumer, the hand of the consumer. When people walk into a store politely, but firmly, and say, we trust you, we love you, you can sit by me and chew, not buying a thing anymore until you get our store. And telling me that you're a good guy, you are a good guy, and if you want to invite me for showers, like to come eat by you, but I'm not buying in the store. Consumers make a difference. How does the store decide what to that hechsher to get? They go for the lowest possible hashgacha you can get to save money. And that's a valid business decision. So if I'm opening up in the center of a town, you wouldn't get it anyway, but assuming you wanted to get Eda Chameda, why would I get Eda Chameda? It limits me to the ingredients, it limits me to many ways, it's going to be much more mashgiach hours, it's very costly. I don't need it. I can get rabanut, everyone will eat anyway, and I'll save myself a few thousand shekels a month. That's a valid decision. Those bashers that I mentioned, by the way, you won't find them, since I touched on it, in downtown Yerushalayim, Mishulash, which means Yerushalayim, Yafo Street, King George Street, and Ben Yehuda Mall. That's the triangle. You also won't find them in Emek Rafaim, that long strip called Emek Rafaim, where everyone goes to eat and drink coffee. Because part of their tzniyus, they say they won't give hashgacha in a place they don't think the young people or the old people should hang out. As long as they don't believe you should be in those places, they won't give hashgacha there. Which is the reason, it's sort of a catch-22. So then you go to the center of town, you want a really good hashgacha, and I always eat Rav Reuven. I can't find one. It's true, you won't find one. Because Rav Reuven won't give hashgacha in the center of town. Because he doesn't want us going to the center of town. So that's the way that works. You will often find a place like the Shuk, Machane Yehuda, good example. Also malls. You find in malls that you have booths outside, vendors that are selling things. Or when you go to different events, there's vendors outside. Food fairs. Nebuchadnezzar just wrote about a food fair in Rehovot Kosher Jew Fair, and the Rabbanut even publicized it, that no one had a Tudat Hechsher in the whole place. It's just unbelievable. And people read it. You know, so again, it's painful. I don't really know what to do anymore other than educate. I used to do shuk tours, and they got hairy for a while. You know, a lot of people in the shuk don't hesitate to take a bat and swing it at you once they realize what you're telling them. I have an actual audio recording called a Kashrus course that was given last year. Visited Machon Yehuda Shuk, and one of the gentlemen there was connected to one of the good people in the Rabbanu Yerushalayim. And he took him around to speak to a few of the butcher shops and get an idea of what Hashkocha is like. So one of these old swarty fellows who's been in the Shuk long enough in Israel, he started laughing. These young guys, most of them, like Haredi fellows, he said, "You guys are a joke. They'll come, you think you're going to get out of this, you'll be Mashkiach. These guys will be spinning circles now. You won't have a clue what you're doing." I said, "What do you mean?" He goes, "That butcher shop over there, that one over there, those two have Rabbanu Hashkocha, they sell trade." I said, "I'm telling you, I know. I see the trade come in." He said, "But the Rabbanu doesn't catch it because the first Mashkiach only gets to the shuk at 9:30. So they sneak the meat in at 8 o'clock. He said, "They might sell trade at 4 o'clock. You can buy that." He said, "You guys don't have a clue what you're doing. That's the level of what it's like." You know, one Rav told me, we learn in Beis Medrash, you know, you have to don the chavschus and have to look at your fellow Jew in a certain light. He said, the day you put on a cap and you decide to become a Mashkiach, you have to throw that out the window, you have to assume everyone's a crook until proven otherwise. Otherwise, you're not a good Mashkiach. And he's right. It's a very difficult thing to do because that's not the nature of who you are. The same thing as a kosher consumer. You have to get this out of your head that the guy is a full guy, he's selling stuff, he looks, I don't know what he looks like to you, whatever you think. You know, you'll often see in stores pictures, I think the biggest two competing for top spot in the pizza shops and the falafel stores are pictures of Lubavitcher Rebbe and Rav Kadumi. Those two are the most commonly seen. You know, and it doesn't mean anything. In the shuk now, they're very popular, have signs. When you buy something, it tells you, Tagiz is a Chol Shabbos Kodesh. When you buy it, you got Kavanis for Shabbos. It's a nice sign, it adds to the atmosphere. The Rav Kadumi pictures are very nice too. And all the Chamsa signs, and now you'll hear the Slichos Zigunim in the background from the Svarim in the Shuk, I'm sure, starting this week. All of that makes for a nice ambiance, it can make you feel good, it's great having an Aliyah, you know, when you went downtown shopping, you didn't hear this. But none of it contributes at all to the kashrus of the place you're shopping in. You need to be aware, you can't buy loose items that are unpackaged unless the store has Hashkocha. And when you see Hashkocha, by the way, adding to the bizarreness of the system in Israel, quite often the kashrus, you have to read the sign, you have to get your Hebrew to a level that you can read the sign and determine what the Hashkocha is on. Because often it's not for the entire store. That's less and less common. Eda Chavedi, Rav Rubin, and Rav Landau, the only exceptions I've really seen is with the soda. Eda Chavedi buckled under pressure, and they permit Coca-Cola now, which is Rav Landau's Hashkocha, instead of only Pepsi. But other than that, those three will not let any foreign item into the store either. But if you go to a place, take a place that's Badatz Beit Yosef, it's a great place, there's a wonderful job, Hashkocha is great. But when you go to the canned sodas and the drinks, it's whatever Hashkocha it is, they assume you know. If it's a closed package, it's not their responsibility. You have to check the item and see if it's Hashkocha you'll drink. The same thing when I go to a fleshy restaurant, I see in the back there's a freezer selling ice cream. I say to the guy, "Why? It's a mechshol. What are you putting ice cream here for? You had any money? What's the difference? It's ice cream. It's sealed." The guy takes it out with him. He says, "Just had a meat meal. It's not my problem." You have to think. You can't go into a store blind. You're going out to eat, and you get, "Oh, we're all excited. Look at that. I go to Israel. I can eat McDonald's in Scotia." People say they believe it. You go to McDonald's. I go here, Burger King. I don't know whatever's out there. And I say that to McDonald's, you should know, even if they ever come up with a real kosher Mahatma one, McDonald's, the franchise, is owned by a guy who's an anti-Semite. His name is Omri Padan, who's already taken this case to the Supreme Court of Israel, who said he will spend every last dime that he has to bring trade to Israel. So anyone who buys a soda at McDonald's understands who he's supporting. This guy's fighting us to bring him whatever he wants, and the Haredim don't like it, they should choke on it, as he put it. Okay, this is the reality, alright? Like I said, you live in a firm community, you go to a shopping mall for reasons that have escaped me because I wasn't that way when I came here and I wasn't so knowledgeable. People have made this incorrect assumption, you land in Israel, everything is kosher, everything is edible, everyone is trustworthy. But we're not there yet. The crime exists, people get arrested for fraud, tax fraud, kashrus fraud, health fraud. It exists. And that includes people that look religious. We all know different scandals, not to name names, of people that were mocked in the Bible. And here, unfortunately, they don't. The system in place to supervise it, to crack down on it, is not as good. And Unfortunately, I would say the Badatsim too, when they find something wrong, instead of owning up to it and advertising it like they did in Chutzal, it's like Roy Hashvachon, for example, used to put an ad out to the community. This place was found to do the things it shouldn't do. It lost the Hashvachon, we threw them out, we accept responsibility. That was their memory. Today it's a cover. Everyone's worried about the name. Everyone's worried about the ripple effect of losing Panasa down in the road. If I had hours and I would go into what's going on in Yerushalayim, I dare say you'd probably throw me out and think I'm lying to you. I'm making it up. But it is different badatsim that are having bidding wars. They go into a store that has an Avraham Mahadran and have a bidding war to hang their sign up for another 500 shekels a month. You don't need an extra mashkiach. You don't need to do anything really. They'll change one or two little things. They won't not do anything. And then you'll have a badatz with the two. So for 500 shekels a month, you'll have a badatz and do more business. There's dozens and dozens of stores now that have done this. What does the badatz offer for? Nothing. That gets 500 shekels, half goes to the mashkiach, half goes to the badatz in the month. It's found money to do nothing. And people are eating. So that's why I said, I can't tell you what to eat or not to eat. If you ask me what, that's why I stopped lecturing, by the way. Because people, I lecture in schools quite a bit. And I found myself not knowledgeable enough and not big enough of a Talmud Chacham to dance around things and say what I should say. And I just stopped going because I don't want to tell people. If you ask me what you can eat, the answer is the top three. Other than that, go find someone else to ask. I won't tell you anything. If you come with me, I'm going to a wedding. Can I eat there? Ask your Rav. I don't know what to tell you. I really don't. I'm not skirting the issue. Just, you're on the way to a wedding. Okay, I had one call. Mom is 20 minutes, half an hour before candle lighting. I'm in this hotel in Yerushalayim. We're here for Shabbos and the evening. So I said, and if I told you no, what are you doing? Checking out? I shouldn't have been so close with it, but I'm like, what do you want me to tell you? I don't know. So people book vacations, they book bar mitzvahs, they book weddings. They've tried over the years to help dozens and dozens of people make a chasna, make a bar mitzvah. Not for panos, they're trying to help people. And people hire today event planners, they hire flower arrangers, they hire video, digital video, online chasnas, online everything. When it comes to the gashas, what do you want from me? The guy is badass, leave me alone. Okay, that's what you want, that's what you want. So you have landed in the shores of Eretz Yisrael, or you've been living here a year or two or more. It's your decision. You know, we're starting sleepless again tonight, but it's coming. I guess if you want to say it's all kosher, leave me alone, I don't have to look for the highest level. So the second part of that statement might be correct. You don't need the highest level, but to say it's all kosher is a fallacy. I will add, if there's any svarim in the group, anyone that holds that they're mocked on plot kosher meat, at one point I'd like to add that I missed at the beginning is, by definition, the chief rabbi of Israel, regular hashkacha, regular kosher, non-mahajim in any of the cities, this goes back to a good hashkacha or a suitable hashkacha. A place that has a regular hashkacha meat restaurant does not have to give you glatt kosher meat by definition. It only has to give you kosher shchita. It doesn't have to be glatt. So if you're svar, you don't even have a starting place. You can't eat non-mahadim because it's not glatt. You have to be glatt. And if your ashkenazim is not on glatt, it's also not a starting place. So when you go to weddings, remember that too. Then you hear the nonsense. I call it nonsense. It may sound rude, but want to book an event? They'll bring you Reuben meat. Is that okay? And what about all the other things, and the spices he puts on the meat, and the pots the stuff is cooked in, and cleaning the vegetables, and checking the rice, and the preparation of the serving, so you brought in Reuben meat. How does that make a place in Mahana? It's just, the question shows that somewhere in our education system, someone neglected to teach people about the essence of what kashrus is. Obviously, people don't have a clue what catering is about as well, because if you understood what it's like to put on a wedding, even for 200 to 300 people, a small wedding, you'd understand one mashkiach can't do the job, and just bringing in Reuben shechita means that the guy that sold Reuben's butcher stuff made a few extra dollars, a few extra shekels. It's not going to change the inherent level of the kashrus of the affair. And it only sounds complex, I maintain, because we're coming from a vantage point. We're coming from a point that everything is kosher. Once you've gone back to Chutzlalitz in your brain and said everything is not acceptable until proven otherwise, and you see a valid hashgacha, life gets much simpler. True, you will eat out less, and you have less of a venue of places to select. But it's not complicated anymore, because I know I'll only eat these 3, 4, 5, 6 hashgachas. The others are not valid for me, they're not good. And that's it. My life goes on. So all of a sudden, you don't have these complicated debates going on all the time. And then, can we eat here? Can we not eat here? The answer is no, you can't. It's like in Chutzpah, it's most of the places you pass, you can't do that as well. It's the same thing. Anyone have any questions? You made several points.
I would like to make a few, we'll call it practical points. My rabbis are Michiel in these matters. So I just want to make a few like practical points. In the shul, we're very makbid on what's called the Tu'udat Eirua. You want to make an affair, a mitzvah, wedding, Mishelu brachas. You call up a caterer, and he says, yes, we're Madat's caterer. So first of all, you have to ask him to fax you or send you his Tu'udat. Because why should you believe him and find out the last minute that he's not a Madat's caterer? And he might mean kol hamoitz from Badatz. Everything I use is from the Badatz. I personally experienced this, where we called up a caterer for an affair, and he says, yeah, we're Badatz. And then, again, thanks to Bichiel, I said, well, send me in Yetuda, and he wasn't under the Badatz. You can call up the Badatz, by the way, the Haredis I'm talking about now, probably of the others too, and say, do you give a hashgacha on this and this caterer? So, that's when, now you have a caterer, and he's under hashgacha, let's say the Haredis. The Eidah Haredis will tell you, you should know, our hashgacha stops at the door of the kitchen. We don't take any responsibility for what happens after that. So now the question is, you go to many, many, many weddings. I don't want to give a percentage. I'm not such a bucky in the field. You go, and you already took an Eidah caterer, but the Eidah is not taking any achrayas for what happens once you walk out the door. We arranged, thank Rabbi Chiel, other Skonim, we arranged with the Haredus, and now the other of the Rabbi Machpud does this too, if, as Rabbi Chiel would say, if Rabbi Machpud Heksha works for you, they'll give you a Tu'udat Eirua. They will send down a Mashgiach to the affair, and we insist on this in the shul, or at least I won't be eating there. No, we know, the people know, they need a Tu'udat Eirua. A Tu'udat Eirua means a Tu'udah for tonight's affair. And they put up a sign, and it says on top, Tu'udat Eirua. And the Eidah Haredus will send down a Mashgiach, cost 500 shekel now. That's the price we've arranged with them, for 500 shekel. And that Mashgiach is responsible to make sure that the food in the kitchen is the food that reached here. He's walking around, and he's poking his nose into the kitchen. He's seeing, making sure about the plates and the wine and the candies. Sometimes they will allow, people want to bring cakes sometimes to some types of occasions, especially a bar mitzvah. They want to bring cakes or they want to bring liquor. So but that's lately I see, they allow a separate table and they'll put up a big sign. Anything on this table is not under our hashgacha. And the kashkiach will make sure that nothing leaves that table, and it has to sit on that table, and they say, we don't take responsibility for the food on this table. So that's called the Tu'udat Eirua. If you make an affair, A, make sure the caterer you're using indeed has a heksha from, we'll just say Badatz for short end. And then you really have to get a Tu'udat Eirua, or it's meaningless, as Rabbi Chiel would say. No, you call up the Badatz, they'll say, our hashgacha stops at the door of the kitchen, unless you order this. No, not unless you order it. No, the answer is no. Unless you order, you call up the Haredis and you say, I want to arrange for Dudat Eirua, and they'll say to call us up. Okay, so we're in Israel now, and in Israel it's not like that. It's not like that in Israel. Not unless you hire one. Unless you call the Haredim and say, I want to do that, Eirua, make sure you send the Mashgiach to the affair. I was just at an affair in the shul, and there was no Tu'udat Eirua up on the wall. So, but there was obviously a Mashgiach walking around. So I went over to him, I said, you're from the Eidah Haredis? He says, yeah, he wouldn't put up a Tu'udat from the Eidah Haredis because there were two tables that were mixed seating. Because the person wanted mixed seating, because he had relatives that were here and they had mixed seating, so he wouldn't put up a Tu'udat Eirua. But
He took responsibility.
No, he was there. He was there. I don't know why anybody was eating there. I don't know how many people walked over to him looking for him, but I was... Okay, that's one point. You have wonderful ladies who need parnasa, and they make fancy cookies in their homes and fancy cakes, and they say, kol ha-moitzim b'datz. They don't have a hashgacha. Now, I don't know if Rabbi Chiya will agree with me. If you mamish know this lady, and you decide to personally trust her, okay, but I won't let it into the shul. Kol ha-moitzim b'datz doesn't work here. Even though they're wonderful people, and the shul once wanted to make very... I'll tell you a story. I'll tell you a story. The shul once wanted to order very fancy cookies for the Shalach Manas package we make. And nobody made it. Only this lady was Kol ha-moitzim b'datz. So I have the shul has a mashgiach, like, if I need him. Okay, we have a mashgiach. And so we sent him to the house to walk in and out of the house. I am not exaggerating, people. In one day, 2 days of baking a few hundred cookies, Kol ha-moitzim b'datz, he called me up 10 times with shilas. She ran out of this, could she buy this? How should she take challah? Could she use this kind of sheet? She wants to use the flesh of the oven. 10 shilas with a Kol ha-moitzim b'datz, and this is with a mashgiach there. So at least the shul doesn't allow Kol ha-moitzim b'datz. There was a store in Gula, Hadar Gula, which for many, many years was so crowded on Friday that you couldn't walk in. There was like a line out the door. No hashgacha. Till last Shemitah, 7 years ago, I remember it very clearly, last Shemitah, they got a hashgacha from Neda Haredis, and they kept it on. And so for the last 7 years they have hashgacha. Now they have a Basari place in a different location, and it also has Eid HaRedis. If a place has an... I learned everything from him, everything hearing from him. If a place has an expired Te'uda, it has no hashgacha, officially. It's very sad, because the B'datzim are not on top of it. They should be there the day after Pesach with a new Te'uda. Sadly, they're not. But again, this will be a consumer pressure. If you walk into such a store and you walk right out because you say your tutor's expired, he's going to yell at the Haredis for messing up his business. But if he says, oh, everything's okay, it's just there's no Tudah yet, and it's probably true, I mean, especially after Pesach, because then there won't be any pressure and the system will never get fixed. We had an incident here a few years ago. It was a very, very painful incident. We discovered a store that had an expired Te'udah and was doing business for months with an expired Te'udah. And we let people know that it had an expired Te'udah. And he came running and he said there was some sort of argument he had with the, I think it was either the Haredi, I don't remember anymore, the organization that was giving the Hechsher. And they weren't giving him a new Te'udah because of a dispute. But he said the Mashgiach still pops in to make sure everything's okay. But there was no Te'udah, no expired Te'udah. So I called up the place. They said, we are not taking any Achrayis. You know, there's a word called Achrayis. If there's no Te'udah on the wall, we're not taking Achrayis. Now you decide if you would buy in such a store where the person is telling you that the Hashgacha is still going on, but there's no Te'udah because of a dispute. I wouldn't eat there because the key word in the markets we're in nowadays is the word achrayas. And if no one's taking achrayas for the kashrus of the place, then when you get to Beis and Shomaila, and they said they use butter instead of margarine, I'm just making up a story, so if at least if there's a proper hashgacha, you can shift off the Aveira to the hashgacha company. It's their achrayas. But if no one's taking achrayas and something went wrong, and the lady, the wonderful lady, I wish them all the best in the world with Parnassa, if she used a different kind of an oil, because she ran out of oil and you ordered cookies, when you get the Beis Mishamayla, it's your Achrayus, because no one's taking Achrayus. So you can't claim you're an Inus. What should I do? What do you mean, what should you do? You ain't in a place, no one was taking Achrayus for the Kashrus. Okay, when you get past the big three, five-star, we'll call it, the Datsun that Rabbi Chaim mentioned, you have to ask. There are decent hashgachas. Some is for milchiks, not for fleishiks. You have to have a connection to the kashrus world. People call me up. I have connections. I don't know anything. I have connections. I have a Rav Stein in Rehovos who knows very knowledgeable about kashrus in Eretz Israel. Rabbi Kuber in Telstone, very, very knowledgeable. Rabbi Chiel. And there are people now as well, and you have your connections. And it's always a question of whom you trust and who, right, and what their information is. But you have B'datz Yeridea, which is Rav Machpud. You have B'datz Beis Yosef. You have Chuk Chasam Seifers. People are always calling up, can I trust them, can I this? So, you know, you have to ask. You have to talk, and you have to realize that you're getting information from, hopefully from knowledgeable people in the field, who will be able to answer you. Many times people call... Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not going to say anything publicly. You call up your Rav or a Rav, hopefully someone knowledgeable in the kashrus field, and say, can I go to a pizza store with that hechsher? Can I go to a fleishiger restaurant with that hechsher? Well, you'll be told that also. Let's say, example, only example. My information tells me that B'datz Beis Yosef is good for a pizza store. So that's what I would tell you if you call up. If you ask me about a fleishiger restaurant, I may say, no, you got to find out who the mashgiach is. So that also is not so simple. Someone might tell you, but B'datz Beis Yosef is fine for everything. But B'datz Yerideya is fine for everything. But that's, I think, I'm going out on a limb here, Rabbi Chiel, please correct me. I think the people who are knowledgeable about kashrus will say, you can buy a B'datz Beis Yosef piece of meat that's packaged, but if you want to eat in a restaurant that's B'datz Yerideya, Rav Machpud, ask a question. Because there's a difference between going to a factory and getting a shechita and getting meat, and a restaurant with the enormous complications in a restaurant. There's hundreds of things going on in a restaurant. So you have to ask. That's all. You might be told that B'datz Beis Yosef or B'datz Yerideya is as good as Eidah Haredes. If your Rav or your person that you go to for psak or for knowledge tells you that, so then in Chanami. You know, that's if that works for you, so that's what you've been told. That the big three could maybe become the big six.
I'll give you my standard answer. I'm not a Rav, so I don't give this guy a loaf.
But what amazing that is, the restaurants in Yerushalayim that were from Machlud or that are from Machlud or that
have
from
Yerushalayim,
I cannot go
through
that.
Okay, good.
I
wonderful.
About
that's
I
wonderful. That's wonderful. That's what you should ask. The top three, Rabbi Chiel is saying, and I totally agree with it. Now, there's others. There's B'datz Chuk Chasam Seifer. There's B'datz Beis Yosef. There's B'datz Yerideya. So there's a Bell's Hashgacha. What Rabbi Chiel is recommending is that you ask. You might be told they're always good. You might be told to find out who the Mashgiach is.
We don't agree on everything either.
I recently went to a hotel. A friend of mine made a Siyum HaShas, and we were all invited up to a hotel up north, I guess, I don't even know where. I'm not going to say the name of the hotel, but Rabbi Stein, it was a private mashgiach, the type of place I wouldn't walk into, I wouldn't eat there, I wouldn't touch a glass of water there. Well, maybe water. But not if you're from New York City, you can't drink water anymore either, right? And it was a private mashgiach, there was a name on the wall, and attesting to the highest standards of kashrus. Rabbi Stein, my friend from Rehovos, knows the person, knew that it was good, and we had a very enjoyable Shabbos. But that's the hardest ones. People call me up all the time asking about a place with a private... I say, how am I supposed to find out? It's just a name on the wall. So I call up Rabbi Chiel, did you ever hear of this person? Maybe he calls... I bother him a lot. Maybe he calls his people that he knows, and maybe they know the person. Maybe Rabbi Stein knows the person. So... We just went to Hebron, and I needed to check on the Eruv there, if the Eruv was okay. And I was told the name of the person in charge of the Eruv in Hebron. And Rabbi Stein, I'm a big Amorist, so Rabbi Stein called him up, had a 5-minute conversation with the guy, and came back to me and said, yes, You can trust the guy. He's very knowledgeable. He sounds erlich. He sounds good. It's oymed meruv al haporetz grada. Unfortunately, I say unfortunately because most of it is offense. So that's unfortunate that we live like that. But fortunately for Hilchos Erevin, it's oymed meruv al haporetz. And he says there's grada very little work to do to make a very top flight erev. But he called him up. Sometimes I'll do it, but most of the time I turn to Rav Stein to call the guy up and to talk to him and ask him questions. He knows what's questions to ask. When you know the ins of kashrus, you know what questions to ask. He may say to me, he gave all the right answers, but I don't know if I can trust him. But I'm just talking to him on the phone. It's difficult, yeah, it's difficult. Some people call me up all the time and they tell me the name of the store. And they say, can I eat there? I said, I'm not going to answer you. The name of the store is meaningless. They could have changed Hashgachas 2 days ago. You have to call up the store, and if you decide to believe them, ask them what Hashgacha they have. Don't ask me if you can eat in a store. Ask me if you can eat in a store or in a restaurant that has kach v'kach Hashgacha. The name of the store, they could change overnight. It's like there's no point in the name of the store. Ishur Badatz, Ishur Rabbanut for imports can't be trusted. A lot of time we've discovered forgeries on Ishur Badatz. I'm not so sure if the Ishur, I'm talking about like an OU product, whether it's maybe
I think it's important to point out the OU says, the OU stresses every, a few times a year to write it in the Torah Tidbits publication, not to use any OU product if you don't see the original OU on the product. Meaning if you think the Hebrew label is covering the Pringles, because you know the OU is under there, and that is that import label, don't use it. They say there's too many forgeries. The OU insists that if you want it, OU Hashkocha, and you don't see it, you may not assume that it's covered, and if you buy it, then you're buying something and you won't risk.
There was just a case, literally, of a kind of Mountain Dew soda, and you know that was big with serious nefesh on my part, that was sold here in local stores, and it had Ishur
KLBD,
and it said the London Beis Din. We did a little investigation. They said Lahayu Dvar Meolam, we don't give a hashgacha on this product. So
someone put a label on it.
For example, just some imports will be milchiks and will say on it Afkas Cholavakum. The Rabbanut allows powdered Cholavakum into the country. Do they do it here or only imports?
They allow powdered cholavakum.
They allow to powdered cholavakum.
Some of the spouse products cholavakum are still.
Oh, you can hire Rabbi Chiel knows people. I do. You can hire a private mashgiach. You can hire a caterer, or you can hire a private mashgiach and say, I want my chasana, my sheva brachas, to be at a certain standard. And you'll discuss it with him, you'll tell him what you want, and you hire him, the private mashgichim. And you know, they're known by reputation if they're okay. We just went to Hebron, I'll tell you a story. We went to Hebron, and we discovered that, thanks to Rabbi Chiel, you go to Hebron, and they're under a certain hashgacha, the Beitar house. Serves food, Shabbos. We discovered they're not under any hashgacha. They get their food from a place called Matame Hebron, that's in Kiryat Arba, which is under Rav Liura's hashgacha. But again, there's no Tudat Eirua. Like, that hashgacha stops at the door there. The fellow was buying the food and serving it. There was no hashgacha in Hebron. Meanwhile, Rav Liura's hashgacha, Rav Liura's a wonderful person, and he is. But and it's called Rav Liur Mahadrin. We called up the Mashgiach, who was a good man, answered all the questions. They allow Hetam Chira, it's his, what he calls Mahadrin. You don't know what he calls Mahadrin. There's no dictionary that you look up the word Mahadrin and it means the same thing. Rav Liur Mahadrin, and I say this openly because he doesn't hide it, Rav Liur Mahadrin in Kiryat Arba allows Hetam Chira products. So now, we said this was. We want Mahadran standards, and we went through a whole list of everything, with spices, with ketchup, with mustard, with salt, with pepper, everything. And we hired the Mashgiach, because we saw us talking to him that he's an Erlich person. We paid him, and we hired him to make sure that it's the standard we wanted, to make sure the transport is okay till right before Shabbos, bring it late on Friday to food to Hebron. We hired him. There was a problem because I didn't want pots that used at the Mechira vegetables because of the problem of Svichen. Anyway, he kashered those kalim that were used. We hired him as a private mashgiach, and we felt comfortable eating. But look, there was no hashgacha in Hebron. What he used food from Rav Lior's hashgacha, Mahadrin it was called, and there was no hashgacha for the transport to Hebron. He could have done what he wanted. This is what goes on. And thanks to Rabbi Chiel, we're all a little more knowledgeable, and we can take steps to. I want to just end with reading. If this all sounds very complicated, and why should kashrus be so complicated? So I want to share with you, I have three reasons why kashrus is so complicated. One is, it's a relatively new phenomenon in history that food is mass-produced and bought in a supermarket. You used to live in your shtetl, and you knew the shaykhit, and you knew the person selling bread or vegetables. And now it is mass production. You don't know what goes on. It could be made anywhere. There's all sorts of ingredients coming from the Philippines, from all sorts of exotic places, all over the world. Food production, as Rachel pointed out, is enormously complex and complicated nowadays. There's no such thing as simple ingredients. You know, there was just a tumult about orange juice in America. They discovered that orange juice in America has problems because the bugs from the peels of the oranges get into the orange juice. And there's a whole ASIC now with orange juice in America, and I think even Tropicana, the holy Tropicana. I don't know, I'm not saying, but I just noticed a tumult about orange juice in America. The point is, it's enormously complicated, and there's mass production, so you don't know anymore what goes on. It comes, and we're all chazerim. Pardon the expression. We all want to have everything. And just open these Haredi magazines and there's a picture of a cut of meat. And, right? And it says there, this is the tachlis of life, this cut of meat. And the animals, you know, animals, it says in Medrash, it says animals want to be a carbon. But according to this ear, animals want to be eaten like you. And that's like the tachlis. And we want everything. The consumer wants everything. Food production has become enormously complicated with ingredients from all over, and mass production, the demand. So it can be made somewhere else and shipped here. And there's no local. You don't know the person that grew the vegetables, right? It's all. So it is indeed, and it's a relatively new phenomenon. It was 200 years old. It was whatever, 150, 200 years old, this whole system of having to have a hashgacha because who knows what went into this food. So it is indeed, we want to keep our kitchen stocked with all sorts of food, and kashrus has become a concern, and as I say, it's 1,200.
Now it's over 1,200. Not to leave you in distress, as I heard you say, with the Rabbi Yerushalayim of Machpul. I have found, at least from my limited checking, the restaurants in Yerushalayim that have Badatsi or Day, which is not Machpud, I say go under the category of a good hashgacha. They do what they claim to do.
See, when Rabbi Chiel says they do what they claim to do, it means you still have the achayas of finding out what their standards are. Doing what they claim to do means they're honest and they do what they claim to do, but you have to find out their standards.
So that means they use Rav Machpud Shkita, and it's Bishri Yisrael, Ashkenazim, and Tzfarim, and they check vegetables. It's unfortunate that this has become, in quotes, a mahadran. It's not a mahadran item. Checking vegetables, cleaning things, that's the basics of kashrus. It's not a mahadran issue, it's a basic kosher issue. But since I saw you distressed over it, I'll say the mefakeah, the inspector for the kashrus, Rav Machpud Hashkochis, Rav Yonatan, his last name slips me. He lives in Arnon. He's also Achayim Beit Shemesh. He does a very good job. He cares, he's out there, he checks, he does what he's supposed to do, and he doesn't get embarrassed and he has to call the mashgiach on the carpet until he gets the standard he wants. So that's the best I can tell you about Mahmoud, but they do what they claim to do. Rav Yonatan Amrani.
Yeah.
Aleph Mem Reish.
If you want to see
Amrani.
Here's an item that's sold in every room, Haredi, public, from Hezbollah to Hezbollah affair. Now, here's it around, and tell me if it has a hashgacha. That's the best test.
How do you feel about the
battle? Does that item have a hashgacha?
Standards, do they do what they say they're supposed to do?
Who?
That's the deal, say, if you find it.
Not even a phone number. You don't even know who's producing this. Could be Muhammad is producing it and there's Bateman in there. There's no idea.
I will say, after I'll say here, because when I spoke years ago, we were in the midst of that whole list, the process of putting out the Kashrus cards 2 years in a row. I was actually a fairly big supporter of Beit Yosef, to the chagrin of many. But I don't, unfortunately, I feel it's deteriorated. They hired a lot of people that aren't on the same adrega. They used to be, they grew exponentially. And hired a lot of people, and I found a lot of things, I would say, for Beit Yosef. As far as determining what they are, you have to know the Mashgiach. I wouldn't go, I mean, I know what their standard is. You have to decide if the standard is good for you as well. I think it depends on the Mashgiach. I don't say it applies there, that you have to just have, look, when it comes to, let's say, spices, just take a benign item, take spices or take packaged cookies, whatever you want to take, something you buy in a supermarket. Then you either go to the restaurant shop or you don't. That's dependent on you, your rabbi, however you conduct your life, you just say, this is what I eat, and that's their problem. You're not going to be able to check. Like I said before, and it's true, not every hashkafa has the same quality of supervision on all aspects. Some do a great job, for example, in tuna fish. Happens to be tuna fish is the whole industry, and they're known to do a good job. Some do an okay job in other places. You ask me about Joseph for packaged goods, I personally don't buy them. I don't have a problem saying it, because I try for, not everything is what I wanted to hear. And I'm not even saying anything bad, I just don't know. A lot of times I'm machmir because I don't know enough. And if you don't know enough, so you have to decide which way you want to go. So I'd rather be a little safe. With Hashem, almost everything is available in the highest, higher end things as well, so I don't feel unlimited. But if there's items you don't want to buy and you have hashgacha, you have to find out. That's my opinion. You may just say there's hashgacha and use them, that's fine. It's not for you to say. Yes.
We talk to a Mahadim restaurant, point number one, does it assume that he's going to have a Mashiach community? Let's not smoke stop. But let's say a Rabbi Rubin has a Hashkofa on a restaurant. can't we assume there's a Mashiach community with all the
time? Rav Rubin ate a Haredi, and Rav Landa on a Fleischer restaurant, you should see a Mashiach, or at the very least for a small time of day where there's no Mashiach. You should see an Oved Ne'eman, meaning a full guy who they've assigned responsibility to.
And if there isn't such a person,
then you should report it to the Hashkofa as well. But if, like I said, it depends, unfortunately, and this is a big unfortunate, like you mentioned before with the OU Hashkofa means beginning to end, it doesn't work that way here. The same thing with Mashkiach Tamidi. You will almost not find a Mashkiach Tamidi in most restaurants of Israel, period. Unless an exception would be like Cafe Rimon in town. The one on Lund Street, Medical, because it does such a volume, you have to be there full time. That's an exception. Unfortunately, it should be in everyone. I don't know what it's like. That's Mahadin. That's Rabbanu Yerushalayim and Badat Yerodei Rabbah.
Now, an OU Mahadin restaurant has to have
trying to remember, not trying to come up with an answer. I don't remember.
You
have to. I can give you a number. I give you. Right. I don't remember. I give you the number. I'll give you Rabbi Krakowski's number. One, you can ask him. I don't recall what their standard is. If it's a mashkiach all the time, or will they rely on a person who's working as well? I just don't recall.
There will be somebody in the restaurant.
There's always someone taking responsibility for kashrus. When they say obeyed in their mind, that means like if I'm one of the guys behind the grill, the mashkiach with hashkacha determines. I'm enough of a Yerusha mind and I know they can trust me. So they'll say for 3 hours a day there's no Mashkiach, for 5 hours a day because it's too expensive, but this guy takes our clients for it. They trust him.
He's not on your good list.
Who's not on my good list?
OU Mahadra is not on your
three
good list.
I didn't say not on my good list. They're not on the standard of Eid Haredi Rubin and Linda. They're not. That's because they have a different standard. That's all. That's nothing to do with good and bad. You're confusing it. It's because their standard is a lower standard than those three.
What does that mean? What's the lowest standard?
What does it mean? It means I went to a wedding last week in Jerusalem, God's hotel, which is under the OU. And women were walking around serving in clothing we shouldn't be seeing when we dress. That was Kriyat Sherem that I mentioned. We'd never print that in the wedding. And it also means the Mashkiach was not present at the wedding. Those Kriyat Shkofas wouldn't be there. So that's examples. Does it mean it's bad? I'm not saying it's bad. I'm saying they maintain a different standard. That's the inyan of suitability, not good and bad. If they don't claim to have a Mashkiach, they did nothing wrong. Because they didn't lie to you. They're telling you what they do. You accept it. That's the business deal. The Shechita, when I asked the OU for those letters, I asked them for the Shechita, the meat, the Behem Agassas, the Shechita that comes to Israel is under the same abundance as the Shechita in America. So if you trust them there, trust them here. You don't trust them there, don't trust them. It's the same meat. Poultry is a different story. Poultry is done locally. That's what I was told. It's not different. It's done in Eretz Yisrael. That's done when Empire is done somewhere else. That's all I'm saying. It's not the same. The OU, the rabbi who takes achlais from the meat, for the OU in the Shulchan Aruch takes achlais from the meat that comes to Israel too. That's all I'm saying. Sure.
Before we conclude, a few years ago, Rabbi Spira and Beis Shila made a survey of perhaps 70 or 80 places that one could eat or purchase food in the neighborhood in Ramat Beit Shemesh. Now, even though it was a few years ago, the information currently is no longer valid, but that's really true from today to tomorrow. Every time you walk into a store, as Rabbi Spira was said, and I'm sure several times tonight, you need to check every time and make sure that their hashgacha is still valid. We put together a book with all this information, in addition to tons of other information that will always be valid, or that is still currently valid, about what hashgacha means and how different people implement it, things of the sort. That book is no longer in print, but it is available as a free download. I'm going to pass out sheets now where you can put down your information, including your email address. Be'ezat Hashem, I'll get back to you in the next few days with the link through which you can download this information, and then you'll be able to take that and read it on your own time. Thank you.
English or Hebrew?
English.
And it's about 45 pages of information explaining what the different stanzas are of the different medatsim. Some of them, whenever we were able to find out, we publish. So it'll give you some kind of an ability to measure one against the other, see where you're comfortable.
Yeah.
What about them?
According
to the OU here, they do things they don't do with Chutzlavitz. They keep Shemitah Lechumah, they only use Chalvi soil, they only use Pasti soil, and they only have Bishop soil. So the OU here claims that they have Chumahs that the OU in America doesn't.
But my information is that the OU Shemitah here for Ophos, for poultry, is not on the standard of what normally is called Israeli Mahadran standards. They call it Mahadran because it's a higher standard than what they do in America, but again, the people that I trust have told me specific things that they don't do, which is considered Israeli Mahadran standards. But that doesn't mean that it's automatically no good. For people though, you, all the ones I know the words though, you are very early in your Shemayim. They all it's not necessary to check. I think Thomas Agidim.
They do all the
schools. But I could comfortably say it's not as great as I understand.
That's what I'm trying to say. You need to differentiate between good, bad, and bad. The OU is good. Could be good, but it's not suitable. That's your decision. I'm not saying OU is bad. Chas v'shalom. That's not what I meant. I'm trying to tell you what. Trying to give you an idea what's out there. You have to find that line, whatever you're comfortable with.
Yeah.
We have to start off knowing what Hashgach is. Who is the Mashgiach for? What? If it's Hashgach you don't lead, I tend to believe the Mashgiach. You have to have some place to a chazaka for trusting someone, otherwise you'll never eat anywhere. If you know what you're asking, you should have no problem determining if the guy is on the ball or not. I have found, Ruch Hashem, at least Moshe Mashkichim, it's hard. I stopped speaking. I'm not good at this because if it was up to me, I would tell you that five places we don't go anywhere else. Everyone said nuts, and there's no point in it because I've seen so much. It's there's just too much out there that shouldn't be what it is. It is what it shouldn't be what it is, and people allow it. And I really believe, I've seen the Beit Shemesh, this community can change it. If people would just know enough and hold their guns and boycott or do something for a few months, you can change everything. But because everyone's pressing, why should a guy spend more money to make something better? You know, I can tell you a case. I called the Mashkiach about a wedding. Okay, give you a real life example. I called him. It's this, it's that, it's okay, I'm preparing, it's going to be fine, it's wonderful. I said, and who's there cooking? Well, who's watching the cooking? No, I'm there every day. I said, well, who's there now? He said, I'm there now, Mama's there now. I was in the kitchen when I called him. I said, you're there now, what are they doing? No, I'm there, I'm watching. He said, okay, thank you. What do you want me to tell you? That was Rabbi Yerushalayim Mahadi. Okay? What am I supposed to do with that? All right, and I sound negative, like, what is this? I'm always have chutzpah to talk about Rabbi Yerushalayim, but in the meantime, the police are getting ready to file indictments against one of the heads of the kashrut department because he has 6-7 people on the payroll. They're all him in different names. There's no mashgichim showing up for months at a time. Okay, so I'm not saying, I don't have a political agenda. I don't make a dime from kashrut. I won't take money. I don't speak in it for money. I'm not looking to be a private mashgiach. It's something I do because it hurts me to see people getting duped. Okay, I can tell you 25 years ago, I had Rabbi Yerushalayim chickens in my house. We ate Rabbi Yerushalayim restaurants along with everybody else. And I maintain if God willing, when Mr. Stern will have this, the Atrish Mahi, the clean house, and other places will get in shape, a lot of these B'datas will go out of business because you don't need them. If the Rabbanut helps with the Truman Hadin standard, if you read anybody, my email address is JerusalemKN for kosher news at gmail.com. Anyone wants, I'll send you a link I uploaded to Dropbox or to Google Drive, one of those. All the, if you can do the Hebrew, I'm not translating them, but all the standards of the chief rabbi, for whatever you want, butcher shops, restaurants, catering halls, it tells you what you read. If you read these standards, it's wonderful. You don't need any benites. Jerusalem KN, Kosher News. My phone number is 054-200-4480. Operators are not standing by. Many times you will find the phone doesn't connect because when I had enough, I shut it off.
And if calling from America, please remember the time.
Right, and don't leave a message because it's slim to no chance of getting called back. I just haven't been able to shut off the voicemail. Email me. I'll email. Every email will get a response. Maybe a day or two or three, but I will respond to every email. Mr. Stern is working on changing that now. Unfortunately, the salary for Moshkichim in Yerushalayim today is paid by the store owner, which is not a good situation, as you can see. Bobby Stern's in the process. Actually, the Ministry of Religious Services is in the process of trying to change that, to take that catch-22 out of the equation. You still receive it, I just haven't sent anything out in about a year and a half. I haven't eliminated the list, maybe one day I'll revitalize it. Just, it got too difficult, there's too many threats for lawsuits, because I spend most of my time in Yerushalayim, and it got to the point there was nowhere to go anymore. That's why I say openly, they can sue me, they'll sue me, but I have Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah coming up too, so if I can prevent anyone here from eating something they shouldn't eat, do not eat Rabbi Yerushalayim restaurants unless you know the Mashgiach and you know that particular place is trustworthy. That's it. That's the honest. There's no chazaka for kashrus left there. Beit Shemesh, everything I saw 3 years ago was good, so at least I would walk in. I ask Mashgiach, I know I'm starting from a good place. The same with a lot of other cities. Yerushalayim lost the chazaka years ago.
My information is that
Tzfas is excellent.
My information that Tzfas Rabbanut Mahadran is good.
Yeah.
My information, again, I'm saying it that way because I don't know, is that Tel Aviv Rabbanut Mahadran is okay.
Don't know.
Okay, that's Rabbi Lau.
Right. I know Tzfas is, I know Chovod is.
Chovod is.
Many say Chovod is. There's a lot of good places to eat. There really are. It's just not everywhere. It may not be the place everyone's eating at. That's true.
Sure.
You mean Simurim and guest houses? Forget Pesach, they're problematic. Yeah, I just saw an article, I think in a whichever paper perhaps, one of the Datilumi newspapers is saying that the Simurim is Hefka. People go to Simurim and there's no kashrus.
What about states like
Chofetz Chaim? I believe, is under the Eidah Haredi today. It used to be Ravu, but they changed the Eidah Haredi, I believe. I don't know. You have to check. First, you have to call the kibbutz. Forget about what the website says. You have to ask someone to fax you a copy of the hashkocha. If they won't, so send me an email, and I'll send you a number of someone in that hashkocha. If they say they're Eidah Haredi, I'll give you the number of a person Eidah Haredi to call to validate if the place has hashkocha or not. That's all. I don't know anything about Pesach. I don't have a clue. I just don't know. You have to go a place called Pesach Hashkocha. I don't know. I really don't. It's not, like I said, I'm not a bashful person, but I don't know, I'll tell you. There's too many places and they change too often. Like I said, a few months or a year ago, Kibbutz Chofetz Chaim was Rav Lubim. Now I understand it's Eid HaVeid. Things change. You know, the Eid HaVeid, by the way, puts out a kashrus guide in Chodesh Nisan for Pesach. For those that can do the Hebrew, it's worth buying. It comes, it's 10 shekels, it comes 2 books, one for Pesach. And the one is for during the year. If your Hebrew's fine, it's worth buying. And it lists, just go through it in your leisure time, and you will learn everything you need to know about kashrus. Because it tells you, at the bottom of each item, we're talking about a factory that produces soup powder, and then it has, you know, comments on the bottom, a little footnotes. You read all those footnotes. And from that, you learn the wealth about Hilchos Shabbos, you learn about kashrus, you learn everything. They'll tell you, like, they don't give a hechsher, or they'll tell you, like, you can't put mustard on the hot Kli Rishon Shabbos, that's something Kli Rishon, if it's Mi'al Yad Yatzel Ezbo, because it's not Rishon the mustard. There's items that don't, on and on and on. That's why really how it started many years ago. That a lot of the kashrus organizations used to put out Padrich kashrus, except for Eid HaChaved. Some others do, they put out these cutesy things about running like the Beit Torah, they're all cute, but they don't tell you anything. And no one tells you anything anymore. That's because of us. The consumers keep eating. No one demands to know what the level of kashrus is. And as long as this goes on, but I guess it's the same in Chutzlaris. I don't know anyone who calls up the OK or I'll be hiding in the star can't say, are you mocked it on this, are you mocked it or not? Everyone eats. So it's never going to change unless people give them the reason to change. Like Lubin said, if enough people walk into a store that doesn't have a valid Tudat Kashrus the day after Rosh Hashanah, the day after Pesach, and it's not his fault, because the Mashgiach gets there when he gets there, but he's going to call up, I'm not paying you this month, I'm losing business here by your fortune because you don't get it together. They'll start getting it together. He'll say, I'll take my business elsewhere. You have to use consumer advocacy. The co-op you learned as Americans, consumer power, that's you have to bring that to Israel and use it. Some people, unfortunately, feel a little bit of a handicap because of the language barrier, you're not fluent. It's difficult. I don't have to be, you know, I'll bring the Shalim to the credit. Years ago, started doing bilingual Tudah. The store is listed in Hebrew and English. I know the name is, but I know they put the expiration date with the regular calendar, not just the Hebrew calendar, they realize that everyone knows. And they also did the address. The important information appears in English as well. Most Rabbanim don't do that. You got to figure it out. Yeah. Any stores with Rav Lubin and Eid HaChaved, there's a lot more involved. If you want a list, I'll give you. If you send me an email, I'll send you an updated list. I got last week from Rav Lubin of 30, 40 places around the country. There's Ashkafas from there. Eid HaChaved, I'll send you the photocopy pages of the last kashrus guide. You have to check if it hasn't changed. All of them, any place, even if I said you walk in, you have to look for the Tudat Kashrus that hasn't changed since then. That thing is only accurate from the day I got it. But I'll be happy to send you. I also, whatever list I get, I'll send you. It's not a secret information. Be happy to share it. What? Shai said it's outstanding. Hospital? Outstanding. I would get anything there from me personally I can speak for. The Rav is Rav Fleg, who became Rav Peleg, because in Hebrew he's spelled Pei Lamed Gimel, and they don't say Fleg, they say Peleg. So when people refer to him, you know they know him from Chutzlaris or from here. They either call him Fleg or Peleg. But everything there is Eid HaChaved, or I think Rav Landau. He's Machmir to a point, Halavai, restaurant from each level at a hospital. I can go into it if you want in length at a different time, but I've been tours with him, it's been hours there. It's unbelievable the Kashrus in a hospital. The same with my name, Shulam Benegbach. You shouldn't need it ever. Hadassah, to the credit of the new Robert, Stern, I don't remember his name. The new guy is great. He's actually bringing Kashrus back to Hadassah and Karim and Yishlam. If anybody wants also, I have a letter from him. I'll be happy to email it to you. He tells you if you're a patient exactly what to ask for, and then he tells you what standards you will receive if you ask for that. His mom is revitalizing. There was a guy there for many years who wasn't doing what he should do. This young Rav is doing a good job. So he'll tell you if you want Mahajim, you want Bidazir Khaled. He tells you what to ask for, and in return he tells you exactly what you'll get. No surprises. To the best of my knowledge, look, I don't go myself. I speak to people in the industry, people that travel for Bells and for the Oyun, for the Chassam Sofer, and for both of them. I speak to people, I have friends, and I'm a Mashkichim for all of these.
And I get information from them secondhand, to tell you quite honestly, and I rely on them because these are people that do it. You know, when I have a person who's a mashgiach, a chasam sofa, Petach Tikva, a certain sardine they did a run of hashgacha on, and he tells me like 2 years later he found the sardine still carrying his name, but he saw it was a different lot number, so he realized somebody just defrauded it, they changed the number. That doesn't instill confidence in you. That's the mashgiach tells me. So that's what I base it on. So I know these three do their job. Do they have mistakes? 100%. Are their problems? 100%. But at least you can go to Bezni Shabbat and say, I did the best I could. These guys are on the level and I tried. That doesn't mean all the others are hustle. There's plenty of other places to eat, but you have to take them on an individual basis. Seder, thumbs up. I wish everyone a Ksiva Chasimah Dovah.